Can I refill your eggnog for you? Get you something to eat? Drive you out to the middle of nowhere? Leave you for dead?
No, I'm doing just fine, Clark.
You just shot an unarmed man. Well, he should have armed himself.
You'll find our snack bar chock full of good things to eat and drink. Tasty, tempting hot dogs, thirst-quenching soft drinks, fresh, crunchy popcorn. You've plenty of time, so visit the snack bar now.
The apocalyptic vision of a criminally insane, charismatic cult leader.
Listen, you fuckers, you screwheads. You're the man who would not take it anymore. Who would not let... Listen, you fuckers, you screwheads. You're the man who would not take it anymore. A man who stood up against the scum, the cunts, the dogs, the filth, the shit. Here is someone who stood up.
All I know is this violates every canon of respectable broadcasting.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature! And you will atone!
We have to strike down, sir! Annihilate! Kill! Kill! Annihilate! Kill! Kill! Annihilate! Kill! Kill!
After very careful consideration, sir, I've come to the conclusion that your new defense system sucks.
I'm as mad as hell, and I am not going to take this anymore!
This is Droops.
And this is Obfuscated.
And this is Infonomicon Radio.
Episode...
Something another.
24?
24!
That is correct. The Christmas special, 3-hour special.
The Christmas 3-hour special. In this Christmas 3-hour special, we're going to tell you who the fuck is watching you this holiday season. And I bet you a fucking $1 million it's not fucking Santa. It's some fucking evil corporation. We're going to do some internet radio reviews. We're going to talk about why Microsoft sucks my hairy ass. And we're going to talk about searching for video. Not porn video, but regular television video.
All on this week's Christian Review Monthly.
And... Oh, I have a newsflash coming in. There's an iPod shortage, so if you haven't gotten your iPods for Christmas, go fucking get them quickly.
You are
very fucking important.
You are the gay.
Yeah, don't be
anyway,
the gay.
Anyway, this is the week of Christmas. Christmas week 2004. And why are we coming in late this week? Actually, we're like 3 days late. Why are we late?
Because of the wonderful holiday season, and I get to go back to my wife's parents' house for another Christmas. Again, you know...
When?
It seems like a lot.
Tomorrow?
But I've just been I just got back.
Oh, okay.
And that's why we're late. It's my fault, but I'm here.
Apologize to the Infonomicon.
Fuck audience. I don't fucking care. Fuck you people. You'll listen to it when I fucking put the show out, okay?
You mean with
picking,
I
love y'all.
We need all the people we can get. You mean when I put the show out? Me!
Okay, Obfuscated does all the work. I'm just here for the good looks. Fortunately, it's radio.
Okay, we got some email this week. You want to start? Or?
Oh, yeah. Let me click over here on my Firefox window. Well, we got some email from a guy that actually liked our show.
You talking about the one with the quality thing?
Yeah.
No, I'll get that.
Do you want to talk about that one? Because that one's all about you.
No, I want to talk. I'll get to that last because I have a few things to say about that.
Okay, well, we got another one that's by a guy, Anarchy Evan, in fact, and he wrote us a song. And
yeah,
he hasn't decided on any music to it, but it would be cool if we'd read the lyrics for him.
Okay, before you read this, I'll let you know the views expressed by our viewers are not the views expressed by Infonomicon Radio and or affiliates.
And yeah. I'm not musically inclined, so Obfuscated's got me reading this shit, okay? Well, it's not really shit.
Because it sounds funny coming to your mouth.
And I think you should do a little honky-tonk behind it. A little steel guitar, a little harmonica in the background, maybe a little banjo. Interestingly enough, The banjo is, you know, you think about it, you think about old white guys, you know, chewing on shit and playing the banjo. But the banjo is actually an African instrument that white people kind of stole. You want to know the truth of the matter. Anyway, so the song goes. Dun, so you're dun, not accepted. Dun. You don't ever get head, and pussy can't keep you fed. Sorry. Just remember, wine's a drink. You have to go to a shrink because your parents are rich, and now you're a pseudo-gothic bitch. So you wear black? Well, that's a fact. Your life sucks when your parents have the bucks. Well, at our Ethiopian Zion, the children are still dying. When you have all the luck, they got AIDS because of you, and I hope you get AIDS too. You whiny fucking tool. I hope you wake up, there's blood in your stool. Just die! Just die! Tell the bourgeois to tell you another lie. Put a revolver in your mouth and say goodbye. So just die. Just die! I don't give a fuck if your parents cry. You won't hear me sigh. So make yourself a rope tie and die. Spider your brains, give it a try. Because your whiny lie, I hope hell is where you're gonna fry.
With your own bad
self. You're the reason why US made the attack. And the reason there is blood soaking Iraq. Not because anything's just bad enough being one of those who quack. So shut the fuck up about your hangnail. You're worth a sack of crap.
Get on up!
Interesting.
Get on up.
I didn't really read that before I actually sung it.
Get on up with your bad self. Okay. Okay, we had some other email. Is that it?
Yeah, I'm done. Okay. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, like my James Brown impression.
That was pretty good, to get on up.
Get on up.
Hey, did you go watch those BMW videos I told you about?
Those old ones?
Well, no, there's BMW's doing some commercials.
They've been doing it for a long time.
And they've got one where James Bond races the devil. And it's fucking cool.
Which James Bond? The now James Bond? Bond?
James Brown.
James Brown, like the real James Brown?
The honest to God James Brown, like
soul, I can't soul, hear devil. What's the devil going on right here? Woohoo!
Yeah, you gotta go see. It's
what's
awesome.
Going on right here? James Brown's awesome, man. I can't. Stick a telephone pole up my butt.
Of soul.
Stick a telephone pole up my butt. Wow, yeah. Anyway.
All right, go ahead. Do something important.
Okay, we got some other things. Let me see what we got going on. Ink refills. Remember I talked about the ink refills?
I think I talked about the ink refills.
No, I was talking about, I was looking for, I was seeing if anybody had any problems with them or anything. Well, anyway, our listener, TVM, which is, I think, some kind of disease, he said, hello. I was listening to episode 22 and heard you guys mention the ink refill kits. I've had mixed results with these. The printer I have filled ink cartridges for Lexmark X73. The first couple of times I refilled both my black and color requires you to fill three different chambers. I was really shocked that it seemed to work like a charm. The first problem I ran into was accidentally refilling the yellow chamber with blue ink, causing some crazy colors to result.
Excellent.
Excuse me. The last time I refilled the cartridges,
smarter
I ran into
than
a huge
three colors.
I ran into a huge mess, however. I refilled the black ink to the brim and printed out a few things, and it worked all right. But then a few hours later, I tried to print something and just got a huge smear. It seemed that the cartridge had leaked through the bottom where the ink is supposed to come out, all over inside of my printer. So now I have this printer. It's totally filled in with black ink. You can't believe what kind of mess this shit makes. P.S. When is Droops releasing a video to the finished truck computer? I am really interested in seeing how it turns out. It's a sweet idea.
It is a sweet idea. In fact, on the way to visit my wife's parents, we watched a bunch of DVDs and had satellite navigation. But still, I'm still working on the power thing to it. And if anyone has some money, just send it to me, and I'll finish it real quick.
Send it to our non-existent PayPal account. Oh, actually, send it to our Swiss account. Wire transfer.
You know, Swiss bank accounts don't have like interest that accrues. Like, you actually lose money with your Swiss bank account.
It doesn't matter because it's you can't.
But they don't say fucking shit about it.
Well, I don't think it matters because they're not traceable.
Yeah, that's what's.
Well, they used to. I don't know if they are anymore since all the problems have been going on. Then Al Qaeda have like a Swiss bank account. It doesn't make them as cool anymore, you know.
James Bond is cool.
Anyway, yeah, the
East Coast. Me to talk?
I honestly really think, well, no, not particularly. I'm never expecting you to talk.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I was just, that was about the ink refill kits. I'm really thinking about getting one. I'm still kind of sketchy about it because I don't want to fuck my printer up. But I might try it out still. What else do we have?
Get on up.
Get on up.
We got the nice email.
What's that?
We have that nice email from our fan from non-French Canada.
Okay. Okay. I'll tell you what, go ahead and read that. I'll let you go on this day. I'll tell you, while you read this, I'm going to go get my lighter. Hold on.
Excellent. Dear Droops and Obfuscated, I just wanted to take the opportunity to say how much I love your show. I recently heard about it on BenRev Radio. At least, I'm pretty sure it was BenRev. And after listening to the first show, I downloaded the rest of them. Before your show, I don't think I ever heard of an article from the Wall Street Journal. Well, that's all you fucking hear from me. Cause I'm... Man, they bring that shit to my house, and I read that, motherfucker. Anyway, with respect to the audio quality, it's perfect. Actually, last week's was really fucking good. Like, that was the best we'd ever had. I can tell it's compressed, looking at the Winamp visualization, but it doesn't sound compressed. Many of the radio shows I need to turn on a normalization plugin to listen to comfortably. Your friend from non-French Canada, Lynthia.
That's Canada, actually.
I guess that's anything.
Not Canada.
We went over this. I'm from Mississippi. I'm allowed to pronounce things however the fuck I want.
I'm from the land of Canada. Sounds like some planet past Pluto. It's Canada. Anyway.
What is the farthest planet in our solar system past? Or
Pluto? I think they found one, didn't they?
Well, see, it's not actually Pluto. It's actually Neptune. Pluto doesn't go in a circular orbit. It goes in an elliptical orbit. And right now, Neptune's the farthest out. But pretty soon, Pluto is going to be at like the next million fucking years. So that's why we've always learned Pluto's the farthest.
Okay, somebody pay attention to science class.
Oh, yes. That's right.
I wanted to talk about this a little bit because, you know, see, you people out there listen to the show once and probably delete it or whatever you do with it. I actually have to listen to the show like 5 times. Each episode is like 5 times just to make sure the quality is actually – I spend more time on the quality of the show than I do on the content.
Sucks for you.
I like doing it because it's fun. If you noticed, it's hard to get good quality out of our show, mostly because it's so long. And I'm kind of like, it's all the whole battle with the file size versus the quality of the show.
And my microphone goes a lot.
Yeah, it doesn't help any. And so I actually did some playing around with everything, and I changed it from 32 by 44 instead of 22 by 22, which increases it by like 5, 6 megs, but it's totally different sound. It's really excellent. So I think I'm going to just keep the 32 by 44, and seems like it's better quality that way.
You got to go with the good sound.
Go with the good sound. Believe in yourself, and you will things good things will follow.
Now take hell off yeah, your, motherfucker.
Now take off your pants and masturbate.
I'm not already.
And you're the one with the hot wife.
Whatever.
Whatever.
About to masturbate.
Okay. Now appreciate the comments, man. Really do. Did you get any more email?
That's all I got.
Oh, I got
it. I really do. I really, honest to God, do have the keychains made. They're even labeled in envelopes. I just have to take them to the post office, but I haven't done it yet.
Because you've been on vacation.
Yeah, whatever. I'm lazy.
Don't tell that to Dirk.
I'm poor, too.
You can pretend like we're like up on the, you know, beat and, you know.
I'm up on the beat. I'm on the street, man. I don't know.
Anyway, I got some more email.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, we got one from... last week we were talking about the podcast and you wanted to know if there was one about sex.
Yes.
Okay. I got an email from that guy. Somebody emailed us. This is from Garth. Look through the directories for Radio Horror. He's talking about podcasting, podcast.org. I think it is. He's either podcast.org or Podcast Alley. Look through the directory for Radio Horror. If you write, she'll respond, getting experts to call if she needs to. There is a sex advice show, and I ain't talking about the regular sex advice you hear. She's talking about double-headed dildos and fucking and anal sex, and it's like, it's fucking cool.
Interesting.
I don't know.
You wouldn't know about that. You're not married, are you?
No, which means I get laid.
So you've never had sex, right?
No, I'm still a virgin. Only in my ear.
Only in my ear. Which ear?
Left one. The right one got molested when I was a kid.
Well, you know, whatever.
And speaking of podcasting, we got an email from our friends at Kedora. Is that how you pronounce that? Kedora? K-E-D-O-R-A?
Yep.
Okay. He's a guy. He's in our link section, actually, so if you want to go check that out, he's basically podcasting for television shows. That's what it is. And then they got packet sniffers up there. I think he's got Totally Owned. Is that?
Pure Ownage.
Pure Ownage. Fuck, I don't know. Pure Ownage. And us, of course, with our shitty show.
Yeah, our show's pretty shitty.
And he's like, hey, I just listened to episode 23, and you said that you couldn't find any websites that would let you just plug in information and spit out an RSS feed. This is exactly what Kedora.net does. It also provides a BitTorrent tracker, torrent host, file hosting, and a message board. And it will soon provide RSS aggregator web service to help erase the bandwidth consumption of RSS. Anyone can sign up and create an RSS channel. There is a web-based interface and manages the RSS feed. And thanks for mentioning us on the website in episode 21. And you're in the link section. So you have graduated. Actually, you just sent it to, like, you know, shit now. You're on our show. Anybody gets mentioned on our show, they're, no one goes there.
Stock value goes down. Yeah.
Stock value goes down. But
just drops like a rock.
Speaking of this, yes, he actually does have it. So you want to go to his Kedora, Kedora.net, or you can go to our link section and check that out. I want to talk about this for a minute because, like I said before, when I was looking for creating an RSS 2.0 with enclosures, XML file that you need for podcasting, so other people could check your show, I put it in their aggregator like iPodder.org, which I have a link to. I'm pretty sure I have a link to. It's a program based on pretty much you plug in your XML file, and it automatically downloads the shows for you. And I looked everywhere how to do this, right? So, but there wasn't any at the time I was looking. And I got to thinking, basically, and I got to listen to some shows, some other shows. Most of the podcasting people who do their shows use blogs as their front end, like content management system and blog interfaces. We don't have that. We never will. Mainly because I find them aggravating to search through. That's just me. I just don't like going through them because I like it simple. I like the nav bar up there. I like to see exactly where I'm going. Okay?
And
They don't, none of them had that. So we're not like, and their blogs are content managers automatically create the feed for them. So no, I don't think any of them knew how to create one. So I look at the code a little bit and I created a text file. So if you want to do a podcast and you don't have a blog interface or don't know where to go to get one made, you can look at this text file, learn a little bit, and learn a bit along the way.
Excellent.
And if you want to go check that out, if you look at our navigator bar, you'll notice that there's a new thing called text up there. And you just click that, and you'll see it says creating an RSS 2.0 feed. Now, this is my first time creating a how-to type of deal, so if you have any problems, any questions, just email me. If I fucked up somewhere, just email me at obfuscated@infonomicon.org and bitch me out. But check that out if you're looking to create one, and hopefully it helps you out, because we're all about the learnage.
All about the learnage.
So that's that.
All right. I don't have any more email.
I got another one.
Okay.
I got a few of them this week. Your show is pretty awesome. Keep up the good work. Don't call our show good. Don't dare you call our show good.
It's fucking awesome, you motherfucker.
On episode 23, you guys asked why the RIAA, MPAA, and NAMBLA doesn't go after the people who use IRC to download stuff. Mainly because the average Kazaa user doesn't have enough IQ to figure out how IRC works. Basically, he's true. he also asked, just a quick question. Do you guys still have those keychains? Are they any good? Are they any good? I'll let you answer that one when I'm done. And do you guys ship those to Free for Canada? This is the one I forwarded you, remember?
Oh, yeah. I got that email. And, yes, we are shipping those to free to Canada. He actually got the last one, so no one else. And his is in the stack, ready to get mailed.
Are they any good?
No. Actually, they're all really good. The Berserk special one, actually, is a little larger than the rest. And my printer's fucked up on ink. And it came out looking kind of weird, but I said, this is it. This is how it's going to be. And he gets a really, really cool special one.
So why is Berserk?
And I don't really know why. We basically just picked him and we're like, this guy's getting a good one.
Is it because he demanded one, or why is he?
I don't know. His is actually going to be a nuisance to use as a keychain. But all the rest are actual real keychains with like little clips and stuff. It's not just like a keychain. It's got a ring and a clip, and like a bunch of little clips. It's got all kinds of cool stuff on it.
I want to leave
it comes apart.
I want to read one last email. This has nothing to do with Phenomicon, but our friend Pixel Fiend sent me an email, and I thought other people might want to know about it. He says, hey. I was like, how's it going? I started a free trial with Blockbuster online to help out Natas with his free iPod thing and had a question. I figured that since I got the account, I'd grab a free movie or two since I'm planning on dumping the thing when the trial is over. So I got a few questions. I was really surprised to find that they shipped up pretty much bare, just in the amounts to a regular envelope. I send the CDs back and forth in the mail quite often for work, and most of the time they arrive okay, but sometimes they get crushed in transit. And these are ones that I'm taking care to keep safe. So I'm really surprised. It really surprised me to find out that these are how these are shipped. I know you had Netflix for a while. How did they package theirs? Did you ever have any trouble with them either coming to you damaged? I've never seen Blockbuster. I have seen Blockbuster's packaging. They amount just the same as Netflix. They're really slim. Basically, there's just DVD and paper. That's it. I've never had one damaged, but I've had one not show up at all. A few of them, actually. And they're pretty cool about it. You know, they have like Netflix's website is pretty well organized, and it tells you when you should expect your shipment in. And it's pretty accurate, okay? It's pretty, pretty accurate. And if you don't receive it within 2 days of that, I usually just go on the site and say, I got lost in the mail, and they don't ask any questions. Well, they ask like two questions, and they send you one out. Now, they also tell you that if you tell them that you lost too many, they will put a red flag up. But they don't tell you with the red how many it takes to get the red flag, which is kind of understandable. So I never had one come damaged, but I never had any problem with Netflix. So
now, if it's damaged, do you have to send it back to them, or do you just say it's damaged and send you a new one?
I think you send it back to them, because I think I read that on the website. They have like a bunch of they have FAQs on there, and I think that's one of them.
Excellent.
And you know how we're a sponsor of Netflix.
Well, now that you don't even have the service anymore, hell yeah.
You know what? I noticed that all these other like podcasting shows have like sponsors.
Like what?
Oh, a bunch of some Microsoft stuff, some this and some that. We can never
be a sponsor.
Huh?
We have a sponsor.
Who?
MojoNetworks.net for all your web hosting needs. Contact Voodoo Hal over there, and he'll get you set up. He's got a unlimited bandwidth, 1 gig account, all the good stuff. It's like $50 a year.
That's right, Mojo Networks.
Mojo Networks.
Does he even listen to the show?
I don't care. I hope I give him some business. He's a really good guy, and like unlimited bandwidth, like our web, all the shit we've put out, like fits on this thing. It's $50 a year. That's dirt fucking cheap. Like you can't find anything cheaper. And the best thing about it is if you have a problem, like he works at night and he fixes it for you overnight. There's no, like, waiting a month or whatever the fuck. He does a good job. He knows what he's talking about.
But some have, like, we couldn't do Microsoft, though. Yeah, that wouldn't work.
Oh, no. he doesn't really sponsor us. He just gives us the stuff for free. And, like...
No, I'm talking about the other shows.
Oh, okay.
And they have, like, stuff like that. One has an alcohol sponsor. One has...
Well, I could do that.
One has a comic book sponsor. We need, like, Netflix. Even though we're not a movie show. I would totally like pimp Netflix. I would have no problem whatsoever in that. I'd be like, we'll be in the middle of an arc. We'd be like, yes, a bunch of people could die from computer crash. I'm like, yes, but have you checked out Netflix this month?
Oh, I did get two other emails.
Well, this is the time, sir.
Oh, they were just automatic responders, but I sent in an email to the XM people and an email to the Cirrus people telling them about Infonomicon.
Oh, you did not.
And I kind of bitched at the XM people because, like, when I purchased XM, I didn't really listen to it before. Like, I'd never seen it in real life being used. And I was an early adopter for that. And it had a CNET channel. And I was like, this is awesome. I could just be riding around listening to computer stuff. And, like, I didn't have TV at the time. I didn't realize that CNET was a piece of shit. And the CNET radio station was, like, some Michael Friedberg or some crap.
Is it, like, NPR type of shit?
It was horrid. Horrid. It was one guy all the time. There was no tech news. It was nothing. And it has gone the way of the dodo. And I said, look, if you need some content, you can use our show for free. It's like, here you go. Just put it up on the fucking radio.
You idiot! I need money!
Look, if we actually can get our show on there, we can start another show for money. But Infonomicon will always be free, okay?
Free for the masses.
Free for the masses.
Except for me.
Know, fuck big business. And fuck all that fucking shit.
It's free for the masses except for me.
Whatever. We'll pinch a little side. We'll get on the Wheaties cover or something.
Could you see us, like, shirtless on the Wheaties cover?
I don't want to see the one of us shirtless. You know what
we do? We'd be on the, like, the imitation, like, Cocoa Puffs. You know the ones in the big bag?
The big sack.
Like the pound. The Malto Mills. That's it. Malto Mills. We'd be on that with our shirts off. That's us.
All right.
We call us Malto Mill Heroes.
All right. You got any more email?
No. But I do have. Okay. Let me see. Do you have anything going on
also,
this week?
I've been kind of busy. It snowed today for the first time, like, ever since I've lived in Mississippi. And it's kind of neat. So I'm going to stay inside because I don't really like the cold or the snow. And I've got some stuff I'm going to videotape, hopefully, for Infonomicon TV. Got some good stuff there. And I've also been doing some shopping, obviously, for Christmas. And I figured out how to get some free Christmas stuff. It's kind of a stealing. But I didn't actually steal anything. Like, I just tested to see if it would work. And I'm going to talk about that at the end of the show.
Okay, let me see what I got. I did some distro testing this week.
All right, what'd you test?
Okay, the first one I tested was Ubuntu.
Are you installing these distros, or are you just installing them in, like, VMware?
No, I installed them on a box.
Like, honest to God?
Honest to God, I don't have VMware.
Okay.
Okay, this is on a 500 megahertz 256 computer. And Ubuntu installed great, no problem whatsoever. But, like I said, it's a Debian. I'm not a big fan of Debian, but if there's any Debian people out there, this is a really, really good distro, really excellent distro. I don't know how long they've been out, but it's pretty good. They have a good mirror, which I was really impressed with. Like, you know how when you go into most distros, the first mirror is kind of slow or whatever.
Yeah.
This one was really fucking good. What else I got? I installed.
What's Ubuntu stand for?
I read it on the site, but I don't remember.
Isn't it like friendship in some African language or
something? Yeah, it's like friendship or what you do for me is what I do for you, something like that, you know. It's pretty, you know. Anyway, it's a good distro if you're in the Debian. What else I got from here? I tried Fedora Core 3, okay? I stopped using Red Hat a good while ago because I'm not into RPMs. Really not into RPMs. So I tried out Fedora Core 3. Have you tried out Fedora yet?
I have not. I haven't played with Red Hat since a long fucking time ago.
What's that?
I haven't played with Red Hat in a long fucking time. Like, I got fed up with it a long time ago. It's like, I'm going over to Debian.
So I installed it, right? Everything went good. You know, nice interface, blah, 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 blah. And I went to install a few programs. First, I was going to install Audacity. So all I get the tarball because I'm not, like I said, I'm not into RPMs. And
you're a real Linux man. You're like getting the tars. You're compiling from source. You're ready to go.
Oh, I'm not a real Linux man, but I'm into the tarballs. That's just me. I'll go and install it, and guess what it says?
Huh.
I don't have a compiler.
You don't have a what?
A compiler.
On a Linux distribution.
On a Linux distribution, I don't have a compiler. Maybe it's something I did wrong, but I didn't have... like.
Did they give you options on what to install, or is it...
No, Fedora, not really. You know, it's just like Red Hat. You know, it's kind of like, you know...
Yeah.
And I...
Do you want a workstation or a server?
Yeah. So I was like, you know, .4/configure. Oh, you don't have a fucking GCC. I'm like, what? How don't I have a compiler?
That's kind of funny there, buddy.
Like, I was staring at the screen like, you gotta be fucking shitting me. I'm still confused by that. How can you have a Linux distribution without a compiler? So I checked that. Did I check that Vector Linux?
Vector Linux?
Think I'm getting that right. What's that?
How was that?
You gotta speak into the microphone, you know. It's a radio show.
I'm trying to speak into the microphone. I'm just doing stuff.
And Vector is excellent. Basically what Vector is like a slimmed down version of Slackware. It's for your really minimum installs. It doesn't come out with as many packages as Slackware does, but it's really excellent for really small machines. What I really liked about it was the fact that every time you boot up, and of course you start X or whatever, it asks you every time what Windows manager you would like to use, which comes with you know, ICE and Fluxbox and Blackbox, and there might be one more.
Just in case there's some Linux newbies out there, explain to us what that is.
Window manager.
What's a window manager? What's the difference between them?
Okay, window manager is what you see, the point and click thing. Okay. Okay, you have your console, which basically is the text. You type in shit, type in. And then you have your Windows Manager. Each Windows Manager has something different. Like KDE is just, you know, pretty much like Windows. It's big and bloated. And it's for machines that, you know, that are pretty efficient, like 800 hertz and megahertz and above. Okay? Then you have your, I don't even know how you pronounce it. Is it GNOME or GNOME?
GNOME.
And, I'm actually using that right now, and it's pretty good. It's the first time me using it in years and years of Linux. It's the first time I'm using it, and I like it. I'm really into it. It's pretty much the same thing. It's nice interface, Windows point and click type of thing. It looks nice and everything. Now you have your ones that are for machines that are less, like, you know, you don't have that much RAM, you don't have that much processing power. Mm-hmm. You have your Fluxbox, which is pretty minimal. And what it only some Fluxbox, it depends how you configure it. You don't even have icons in your computer. Pretty much you have, you know, your right click and you choose from a list.
That's cool.
Which saves a lot of RAM and a lot of, you know, when you go to access it, when it brings up the screen itself. And mm-hmm. It just depends. You have your ICE, which is pretty much the same thing, minimal RAM usage and resources. And it all depends how you set up your, what kind of box you're using and what kind of Windows managers you're going to use.
That's cool.
Is that good enough? I don't know.
That'll do for me, buddy.
You're asking a noob to explain to a noob, so you got.
Well, look, a noob is actually pretty good at explaining things to noobs because they just went through all the questions and tried to find their own answers.
It's kind of like a hermaphrodite teaching necrophiliacs, right?
Hell yes. I like that sound it makes.
I like me some dried body. Is.
All right.
Oh, not
you ready for some news?
And of course, I put back. No, I got some other stuff. And then I got.
Oh God!
I told you, man, this is gonna be a show.
Shit and a half. I'm just picking go.
And I got some. Let me see what we got. Did some. And then finally, I went back to Slackware, of course, because that's my baby.
Okay.
And that's what we're recording on right now, Slackware, Audacity.
Audacity.
Which the first time I'm doing this. Which is it's working out pretty good. I'm not going to edit it on Audacity, but I'm recording on it, which seems to go pretty good. I like it because this box seems not to handle Windows very well, resources wise. So of course, as we know, Linux is better with the memory management.
Yeah.
And so it's more efficient for me to be doing it this way.
Excellent.
Also, you know, we're on podcast. Podcasting. If you want to check us out on our XML file, if you want to put us in your, you know, iPod or whatever you use in your iPod, you could download an XML file. Of course, if you go to infonomicon.org, you'll see all the way on the right-hand side on our nav bar, it says RSS 2.0. If you click that, of course, that's our XML file.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you can also get us at podcastalley.com and pod – what else we got here? What's the other one? It's pod podcasting.net, which, of course, all in the link section. And if you're really nice, you can go to podcastalley.com and vote for our show.
Yeah, I'm going to go do that.
Yeah, shut up.
It's a good show.
We got two votes. One was
Hell
me.
Yeah.
One was me, and I don't know who the other guy was.
We're about to have three. I'm just picking.
We get to vote once. I voted right. Like, I think you get a chance up to like, how many stars we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 stars. I gave us 4.
All right. Right now I'm downloading BIOS Max Edition, which is I'm about to put on an old box. It's the Intel version because it's an Intel box. And it says that there were 50,000 downloads from bbits.com for just the Max Edition, which is the edition that was never released by actual B a long time ago. Anyway, just thought I'd add that.
You know what I also noticed? Yeah, everybody knows that I know we're getting off the news tangent, but we got some tech shit to talk about. If you notice, if you go to Internet Movie Database, we all know that's owned by Amazon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you notice over the last 6-7 months or year that every time you go to a site that's sponsored by Amazon, you notice your name's on there.
Yeah.
And I'm looking like, you know, and now I'm, you know, I'm at Internet Movie Database, and I'm like, it's Obfuscated Von Noir's account. I don't like my name being up there. I know that's pretty secure, but it just freaks me out every time I see it, right? I don't like that. But now, not only that, if you go to, this is just recently, if you go to Internet Movie Database and you just click on a movie, it doesn't matter what movie it is. But right now I'm on Lemony Snicket, whatever the fuck that movie's called. And right below the picture of the movie, it tells me my show times in my area.
That's neat.
Yeah.
You got a little bit of cookie on your chin there.
I know. I wiped that shit off pretty fucking fast. But anyway, it's a future. If you think it's cool, it's cool. If you think it's gay, whatever. Right?
I'm all about not having privacy on the interweb.
I'm all about that, especially in on conferences. Anyway, back to
like, I want to go on the internet, and it's like, here's your social security number. I'm like, oh, I didn't
please,
tell you, but thanks.
I want to put up Google, and right below Google, I want to see my social security number. Big, bold type.
And my credit card numbers.
And my penis size.
I was about to say my dick size, but I was eating a cookie.
Get a cookie on your chin, buddy. And, Ben Red Radio is out.
No, Hack Radio.
Oh, whatever the fuck it's called. Hack Radio. Do you know the URL to that?
Benrev.com has a link to it, I believe.
Yeah, so go there. Go there. That's basically a radio station, and all the elite Hacksaw shows are on there.
And ours.
Okay, let's see what I got going on here. Oh, I want to talk about Santa Claus.
All right.
This is the holiday season, right? I'm going to Sears because that's the time I shop for clothes for myself during Christmas because it's cheap. So I go to get my shit, and I'm walking out of Sears, right? And I see the Salvation Army people?
Salvation Army ringers.
Well, guess what? There was no Santa Claus. It was just like this big woman, right? She's sitting on a chair. And she just looks at me. I'm like, well, you know, I give a couple bucks. You know, I'm a kind-hearted fella. And I got $2 and I put it there. I was like, Merry Christmas. She looks at me and she's like, yeah. She's like, yeah. I'm like, fuck you too.
Fuck you. I want my money back, bitch.
Yeah, I want a refund. I want change. It's like, come on.
We'll give you change.
If anybody's going to be in the Christmas season, it's got to be the Salvation Army people.
The Christmas season kind of wears you out.
Especially if you have a big woman in front of Sears. She wasn't even ringing a bell.
Had a chair, wasn't even ringing the bell.
No wonder why Target kicked their asses out of the front of the store. Anyway, one last thing I want to go talk about is that, like I said, I've been checking a lot of podcasting shows. As Droops has too, right?
Yes, today I have.
And I got a couple shows to talk about. And mostly, or basically, I'm only talking about the technical ones because that's what we are, right? And
ish.
Tech-ish, yes. I'm going to go through a few of them that I like. And the ones I like are on the links section. I actually put links up to the RSS feeds. The first one is Apox Blog O Stuff Radio. It's a good show. It's half tech, half news like what we do. He loves Kevin Rose, though.
I love the Kevin R. The Rosemeister.
Dude, I would fuck him in the ass with a piece of frozen shit in a heartbeat. Anyway, the next one is a really cool show that I think everybody should go check out. It's called Tech Chick Weekly. It's basically this chick, you know, that talk about tech shit, basically what we do. She gives hardware reviews, basically like, you know, different versions of the iPod knockoffs, you know, stuff like that. And it's really good shit. She knows what she's talking about.
How does she afford all this stuff to review?
Oh, she has the sponsors.
Owned.
The next one is one called, I think, I'm not sure. He sounds Australian, but he could be British. I don't know the difference. Anyway, the show is called Software As She's Developed. It's basically a programming show. Now, if you're not into programming, it could be a little boring to listen to code. Pretty much are like, you know, the theories on code. But I find it pretty interesting to listen to.
10 in space print. Parentheses, home.
No, it's not that bad, but like I said, it's basically on theory, and I enjoy that kind of shit. The next is the Don and Drew Show, and if you're in the podcast, you know what it's about. It's basically, husband and wife, irrelevant shit they talk about. Basically, they fart on each other. It's funny. It's pretty good. Let's do good. Check that. Which is
on their website. It says that Don says fuck a lot.
Yes, they say fuck. They're almost as bad as we are, but not. They're not as nasty as we are. Not by no stretch. I'm going to talk about that in a second. But yeah, go check out the Don and Drew Show. Also, it's a show for all you Mac people out there. It's called Inside Mac Radio. It's all Mac all the time. And it's a really great show if you're into that shit. I listen to it because I like to hear what's going on. Tech Shorts. It's pretty much I listen. It's a really good show. It's pretty much a short thing. I think every other day or once a week. A little tech news, you know. What's another? Wizards of Technology. It's just like our show without the nastiness.
And cool. They're wizards.
Yeah, I like the show, actually. It's the next one's Leo Laporte Report.
Like that.
Our friend, Leo.
Has he called you back yet?
No, I didn't get his phone number.
That's right.
Next one is Slashdot Review. Now, people make fun of us because we read from Slashdot, which we don't. Now, this is Slashdot Review. This guy reads from Slashdot, and that's what he does.
Somebody made a Goatsy reference, and then everyone complained. Speaking of Goatsy and Slashdot, I was reading Slashdot today, and they're talking about this... computer that was built out of gingerbread, like it looks like a computer. And then there was a link, this guy was like, I made these cookies, and I opened it, and it was like this picture of these cookies, and I was like, that's kind of weird. And the second I closed it, I realized what these cookies were. It was the Goatsy.
Goatsy!
Like, it was this little round cookie, and it had this red, like, fruit stuff in the middle, and these fingers on the sides, spreading it apart, and like it did. Oh, it was so horrid. What's funny is you could bring that to a party, like your mom's eating them.
Gotsy. They ever find out who that guy was?
I don't know, but he's got a wedding ring.
You're making me think of. I don't want to think about that.
Tough girl. All right, go ahead.
The next is Web Talk Radio. Now, the thing about it is that it's a good show. You learn a lot of stuff, but they sound like NPR. You know what I mean when I say it sounds like NPR, right?
dull and boring?
Yes. Basically.
And professionally done.
Huh?
And professionally done.
Well, if you can call, like, you know, volumes professional, like, you know, I don't know. I don't listen to NPR because I can't. I might turn on when I go to sleep. Because it's basically like, this week on Infonomicon, we have a special guest. And his name is Droops. How are you doing, Droops?
And he's going to be talking about a new book he wrote.
Yes, my new book is on Australian literature in the 18th century. And I can't take that! I can't take it! Anyway,
we're not going to take it.
They kind of sound like that, but it's a good show. It's a good web talk radio. It's pretty good. Next one is Adam Curry.
The original VJ.
The original VJ. If y'all remember him, he's the original Headbangers Ball guy. Who would have thought? He actually created kind of like the podcasting thing, which is really odd
with
in itself.
Open source project.
Yeah. And when I listen to his show, it's called Open Source. Well, no, it's called, I forget the name of the show, but it's Adam Curry. You can check it. I got it on my the links page. And every time I listen to it, I just keep thinking of him on Headbangers Ball.
See, I never watched Headbangers Ball, so I'm safe there.
Well, he was one of the first Headbangers Ball guys, the one that didn't fit in before they found out like a real headbanger. I like the guy. Anyway, the next one is the last one I'm going to talk about is the Linux Link Tech Show. They're actually really good. They reminded me of Most of Us. They have fun. Yeah. They don't curse at all, but they're a really fun show. And it's all about Linux. And these guys know what they're talking about.
Ooh. That's not like us at all.
No. What I did notice between all these shows, I got like 30 of them I listened to. What I noticed, we're all the foulest shit on there.
Score. It's called Daily Source Code, the Adam Curry show.
Okay, Daily Source Code. We are the foulest shit on there.
Putrid and wretched.
Seriously, I'm listening to them. I'm like, my God, we say dirty words.
But from now on, we're just going to talk about puppies and rainbows.
And everybody's going to be happy.
Strawberries.
I love strawberries.
You fucking retard.
Strawberries.
I mean, you special strawberry head.
Special strawberries. On Next or Roll, though. Okay, on to the news.
On to the news. All right, it is the Christmas season, I believe, and supposedly Santa Claus is watching you. But Santa Claus isn't the only one watching you. This woman is walking to a Gap store in some random mall. And she's walking around, she's looking at stuff, and all of a sudden, she's become a research statistic. 12 feet above her, unbeknownst to her and all the other shoppers in the Gap store, there's a device that looks like a smoke detector. It's mounted on the ceiling and equipped with a hidden camera. Now, this isn't a security camera. This is research. This is, what's it called? Marketing. Demographics. And it takes a little picture of her head and her shoulders. This image is fed by a computer and shipped to a database in Chicago, where a company called ShopperTrack RCT, a consumer research firm, keeps count of shoppers nationwide using 40 fucking thousand cameras placed in stores and mall. Now, of course, ShopperTrack says it doesn't take pictures of faces. The company worries that shoppers would perceive that as an invasion of privacy, but nearly all its videotaping is done without the knowledge of the people being taped. The woman that we're talking about actually was interviewed, and she said, "I didn't even know there was a camera up there." That's really, really fucking shitty. Now, this uses proprietary software to gauge the size of images of people. ShopperTrack computer determines that this lady was an adult, not a child, and thus a actual shopper. Weeding out little kids is critical in accurately calculating one of the valuable bits of data that ShopperTrack sells. The percentage of shoppers that buys and the percentage that only browses. It arrives at this data, including the so-called conversion rate, by comparing the number of people taped entering the stores with a number of transactions. Ooh, that's fucking shitty. Of a million shoppers videotaped daily, millions of shoppers videotaped daily in the U.S., many are aware that security cameras are watching to detect shoplifting. In some cases, stores actually post signs to disclose such monitorings, but there's far less awareness by consumers they are being filmed for market research. Some of ShopperTrack customers or clients are Gap, Banana Republic, Limited Brands, Payless, Shoe Source, American Eagle Outfitters, Children's Place retail stores. I lost track because I had to flip pages here. Several of the research companies that videotape these shoppers say they sign agreements with the clients in which they pledge not to disclose their name so they can go to Obfuscated's House of Tools and Obfuscated make sure they won't, you know, sell the customers' names. But they say their clients want taping to be secret and worry shoppers would feel alienated or complain about privacy invasion if they knew.
Really?
Well, if you think that your fucking customers are going to be worried about privacy invasion, you shouldn't fucking do it.
Yelling.
Okay, sorry for getting a little loud. Catherine Albright, founder and director of Caspian, which is a Cambridge, Massachusetts consumer advocacy group, said the consumers have no idea such things as video tracking are going on and should be informed. When she tells them about such activities, she says the response she often hears is, "Isn't that illegal? Isn't that like..."
Well, what's her name?
Catherine Albright.
Oh, that bitch. Okay, go ahead.
Ooh, tell me some more about her in just a second.
Okay.
Shouldn't there be a law against it? Go ahead. Tell me now.
We'll talk about after the show.
After the show.
Political.
Ooh. All right. Anyway, now this stuff, what they're doing, they're taking a picture of, you know, a person. The computer is the only thing that really sees the picture and determines all this information. It's not like they're taking pictures of, like, breasts and legs and shit. Or upskirts or stuff like that.
Upskirts.
Now, these video miners, that's what they're called. They got, like, hard helmets and lanterns and shit. They say their research cameras are less invasive than security cameras because their subjects aren't scrutinized as closely as security suspects. Images, they say, are destroyed when the research is done. Well, how the fuck do we know that? How do they know they're not? Anyway. Now, there's a startup called Advanced Interfaces Incorporated of State College, Pennsylvania. They're expected this week to launch a website, which is videomining.com, which highlights the company's patterned computer vision technologies. In a pilot project conducted last year in the Philadelphia area, Advanced Interfaces set up 9 cameras in each of 2 McDonald's Corp restaurants to find out which consumers would try a new salad, would find it most appealing, trying this new salad. The research was done without consumers' knowledge, says Dr. Sharma, who is the Advanced Interfaces chief executive. You know, if you fucking videotape me, like, you can see a security camera. Like, those balls at Walmart might not all have a camera in it, but you fucking see them. Like, I don't like that fucking hidden smoke detector camera shit. That's fucking... ugh. And they're not even videotaping it for your safety or, like, you know, for police records, whatever. They're videotaping it to sell the information because you walked in their fucking store.
Well, if you walk into a store and don't expect to be taped, then you're an idiot.
See,
you need to expect that. I'm saying it's not right.
No.
I'm not saying it's right or anything. But if you walk into a store, you should expect that you're being taped.
Okay, but are you expecting them to be selling this tape? And that kind of irritates me.
Well,
like, yeah. They're making money off of secretly videotaping you. Now, it's one thing to secretly videotape you, maybe help you, but that isn't helping you a fucking lick.
Speaking of security, I was letting everybody know that I don't know if they do this anymore since the technology of cameras have become way better than they were back in the day. But I know up to about 5 years ago, you know, you're walking to Dillard's or Sears or, you know, McCray's or any place like that. You know those pillars, those glass pillars you see?
Mm-hmm.
There's people in them.
Huh.
People actually, those are one-way mirrors.
Cool.
Two-way, I mean. Yeah, if you get in them, they can see you. And they're actually looking for shoplifters.
That's really kind of interesting.
Yep. I don't know if they do it anymore since, you know, time is different. The cameras are more...
That'd be a shitty fucking job.
Oh, dude, sit in there, man. What if you had to go in the women's section and you're like, you know, one of those freaks? And you're like seeing those chicks like looking at the clothes. You're like, oh, try that one out. Oh.
There's this rhythmic thumping noise coming from inside the glass column.
I wonder if there's a camera watching that guy.
There's another guy in a little glass box above him.
And somebody's watching him too.
All right, and I don't really like that. And actually, quote of the week is actually from this. We're going to talk about that later. But Santa Claus isn't the only one watching you now. Now they're selling your image.
See, I don't like that either. I don't like it. But then again, like, you know, it is their store. Devil's advocate, but it's their store.
Yeah, and it's their store, and they should fucking tell you that.
Do they have an obligation to do that?
You can look, if you're taking someone's picture, you should tell them you're taking the fucking picture.
Well, they do say, like, most places do say surveillance or what. You know those signs, you know what I'm talking about, right? Surveillance.
And surveillance is different than taking your picture from market data.
True. But if they take your picture and they tell you, does it matter what they do with it?
Yeah. It does. It does matter.
I agree with you. I'm just saying, you know. I don't know what the laws are.
I took a picture of you and you got pissed and deleted it.
Well, because if you take a picture of somebody, it steals their soul.
You fucking Amish faggot.
That's Indian.
Whatever. Go fucking ride your horse and buggy. Go ahead.
Get on up. Anyway, okay, remember last week we was talking about Blu-ray versus HD DVD?
We talked about something intelligent like that.
Yes, we did, because they're deciding which one to use for the next versions of a DVD, right?
All right.
Okay, and this is basically the whole Betamax versus VHS thing all over again. So I'm going to talk about it like that. I'm going to talk about the pros and cons of each one.
Who's got the more money? That's the one that will become the official standard.
Basically. Now, Blu-ray, which is BLU-RAY, is backed by Sony, Dell, Hewlett-Packard, Hitachi, LG Electronics, Mitsubishi, Philips, Pioneer, Samsung, Sharp, TDK, and Thomson Multimedia. This is the advantages. Blu-ray has enjoyed more mindshare than HD DVD. Technology, the biggest edge Blu-rays appears to have over HD DVD is that it offers 30% more capacity and is designed for recording high-def video. Rewritable BD, that's BD-RW disc, with similar features to Panasonic's current DVD RAM disc, can play back content while recording to the disc at the same time. Also, Sony owns Columbia Pictures and recently bought out MGM, which gives it a leg up on releasing content. And PlayStation 3 currently will carry a huge chunk of clout in the marketplace. This is disadvantages. Real or not, the biggest knock on Blu-ray is that the disc initially, at least, will be more costly to produce than HD DVD medium. Until recently, the other knock was that unlike DVD HD, the Blu-ray spec did not include support for more advanced video compression codecs such as MPEG-4, AVC, and Microsoft's VC1, in addition to the MPEG-2 codec. But the Blu-ray group recently announced support for those codecs, so they are now even on ground on that front. Okay, this is the HD DVD posse, which is backed by NEC, Sanyo, Memory Tech. Microsoft's also support HD DVD and its next version of Windows. Support for Blu-rays on the table, which kind of pisses me off right there, because I think they should support both. That they both have they're still deciding. And when Longhorn comes out, disadvantages: the name itself, HD DVD, is far more consumer friendly than Blu-ray. HD DVDs carry the same basic structure as current DVDs, so converting existing DVD manufacturing lines into HD DVD lines is supposedly simple and cost effective. Memory Tech, a leading Japanese manufacturer in optical media, stated that producing HD DVD disc would initially cost only 10% more than existing DVDs, and that it could quickly bring the cost down to match that of the standard DVD. This is disadvantages. HD DVD simply can't boost the same storage capacity as Blu-ray. It's confusing, but it appears that the rewritable HD DVD RW will go up to 32 gigs, while recording HD DVD R disc will only be a single layer 15 gigs. The other downside that Sony are holding the rights to Columbia Pictures and MGM movies and television libraries, there will probably be a hole in HD DVD's content offering. So don't expect to see MGM UA's James Bond movies on HD DVD, for example. So basically, whoever wins, there's going to be somebody getting pissed at the other side. You know, if Microsoft wins, you're not going to be able to play your fucking Blu-ray. And if one side wins, James Bond movies won't be coming out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So they're pretty much the, in essence, they're pretty much the same, except Blu-ray has more capacity.
And more capacity is better.
But of course, it doesn't support like the new Microsoft is VC1. Ooh.
Well, I give a fuck about Microsoft. I happen to watch a lot of DVDs on Linux myself. And I hope that I can watch my Blu-rays and such on that also.
Hopefully.
Well, I'm sure it'll come around.
So I guess I gotta buy the White Album again.
Whatever, records sound better.
Yeah. Analog.
Analog, baby.
Can you go ahead then?
Okay, speaking of shit like that, audio and video and this, that, and the other, we talked about Howard Stern got Sirius Radio, paid him $500 million. Anyway, he is the man that put Sirius Satellite Radio on the map, supposedly, but he's gone missing. Not missing as in they can't find him, but Howard Stern, this raunchy shock jock who shook the radio world by announcing in October that he would join Sirius in late 2006, had to rein in his usually bombastic promotional instincts, partly by choice and partly not, at the very time when Sirius is enjoying more attention than ever. Now, Sirius isn't really advertising the fact that they've got Howard Stern. What they are banking on is that people are going to say Howard Stern, and then they're going to immediately say something about, oh yeah, paid $500 million by Sirius. And that's indirect advertising, and that's really good. But they don't want him to keep talking about it on his show and keep bothering you, because it's going to be 2006 by the time he gets around. Can you imagine an ad campaign going on for a year? Wouldn't you just be fucking fed up? You're like, I don't fucking care about fucking Howard Stern. It's been a fucking year they've been talking about this shit. Fuck them.
I've been listening to Windows campaign for the last 10 years.
And it's really nice of them not to be a jackass. Now, they do put it on this on their website. You can go to the website, and you can see Howard Stern's coming to XM, or to come into Sirius. And they don't want to make people go buy a Sirius radio, per se, tomorrow, just because of Howard Stern, because then they're going to cancel their subscription because he's not on the radio for another year. And so they're going to start pumping that up more toward 2006. That's really cool. Now, before Sirius enlisted Howard Stern, this company had just 600,000 subscribers, and it was not doing well on its goal of signing up 1 million by the end of the year. At Thanksgiving, the company was back on track and had 800,000 subscribers. By contrast, of course, XM has 3.1 million at the end of this year, and that's still a lot of people that whooping the hell out of Sirius. But hopefully Howard Stern will help them out, and there'll be some competition, because without competition, XM is going to be a piece of shit. And so Sirius.
They both suck.
Yeah. Well, I like my XM radio. Sirius has a channel devoted entirely to Elvis.
Oh, my God. Is your friend on there from Mississippi?
I don't know. I don't even know if he knows about it. He's not up on the high tech, per se. He's still spray painting Christmas trees blue in his yard for Christmas.
He doesn't have a website? No, that's right. He doesn't, doesn't he?
He doesn't have a website.
Have you ever talked to him about that? You can get him on Mojo Networks.
Yeah. $50 a year, man. I'll put pictures up.
He might have to sell a sleeping bag.
I think he's got more than enough money. Like, the shit he's got in that house is millions and millions of dollars.
Okay, check this out, dude. A 22-year-old gamer has spent $26,000 on an island that exists only in computer role-playing game. The Australian gamer, known only by his game moniker, Deathifer, bought the island in an online auction. The land exists within the game Project Newtopia, an RPG which allows thousands of players to interact with each other. Newtopia only allows gamers to buy and sell virtual items using real cash, while fans of other titles often use auction sites as eBay to sell their virtual wares. Earlier this year, economics calculated that most of these massively multiplayer online playing games have a gross economic impact equivalent to the GDP of the African nation of Nambula? Fuck, I don't know. Anyway,
Nambula?
Yeah. Nah, not Nambula. That's molesting country. This is a quote. This is a historic movement in the gaming history, and the sale only goes to prove that massive multiplayer online games that have reached new plateau, said Marco Berman, blah, 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 director of community relations for MindArk, the game's developer. The virtual island includes gigantic... this is so silly. The virtual island includes a gigantic abandonment of castles and beautiful beaches, which are described as ripe for developing beachfront property. Death Defer will make money from his investment, as he is able to tax other gamers who come in his virtual land to hunt or mine for gold. He has also begun to sell plots to people who wish to build virtual homes. That's it.
Well, that's definitely interesting.
You know what I say? Everybody listen to the show right now. Get together, okay? We will. I don't know anything about this game because I don't play. If I play anything, it's definitely not.
What game? What game is it?
What's the name of this fucking game? I'm going to look at it. And it is Project. I'm going to spell this for you. Entropia.
Entropy.
That's Entropy?
I don't know.
Anyway, it's Project, just in case you know you don't know how to spell it. That's Entropia. Okay, so everybody join this game, and we'll create an army, like the Goths, you know what I mean? Back in the day, the Huns.
Ransacking fucking Rome, baby.
Ransack that motherfucker. We'll steal it. We'll kick the, like, just burn the place down.
Hell yeah. And then we'll develop it for fucking land.
No. You don't develop it. You destroy it so the property value will be shit. You burn it. And if he brings out his army, we bring back more. He might have a bigger army, but you know what? Ours is willing to chop off ears and shit. And eat people. Yeah. And burn them.
Our guys will fucking cut their arms off to prove our fucking loyalty. I mean, it's a computer game. It doesn't fucking matter. It's
yeah.
A character.
You'll see, we'll flow with blood. We'll turn this fucking, I don't know, this probably game is probably limited what it can do, but we could turn this fucking ocean to blood. Who wants to buy oceanfront property with blood in the ocean? That's disgusting. We'll breed little mutant fish with laser beams on his head.
Freaking lasers. Speaking of video games and money and this, that, and the other, this kind of sounds silly. You know, he spent a lot of money on, you know, some virtual land, whatever. Yeah. But video games are breaking into the big time. Halo 2, per se, broke records when it raked in $125 million the first day on the market. That's more than any movie has ever made in the opening weekend. Huh? That's pretty cool. In 1 month in stores, the alien fighting game has topped $250 million in sales. Several other sequels, including Grand Theft Auto, San Andreas, Doom 3, have lived up to their blockbuster billings and Hollywood-level budgets. U.S. video games this year... their sales are expected to rise 10% to $7.76 billion. That's billion with a B, like bitch. According to so-and-so securities, that isn't far behind the total U.S. box office receipts, which stood at $8.6 billion. But this fast-growing industry of video games has a major challenge. Escalating development and marketing costs are sowing the seeds of an arms race that analysts will say will intensify as publishers rely more heavily on big releases to generate the lion's share of their profits. The string of big-budget games released this holiday is expected to put pressure on some of the smaller publishers who have significantly fewer titles on the shelves and may not be able to survive if even one of their little small ones stalls. Among them, Britain's EIDOS, which gained fame for their popular Tomb Raider series of games, already has explored a sale. So they're getting the fuck out before they fucking die. Once the arena of children and hobbyists, video games are now big business, dominated by a handful of large media firms that are spending heavily on popular franchises. Just this month, EA, Electronic Arts, signed an exclusive 5-year deal with NFL. And that's in America, it's the National Football League. It's where we play football, not gay soccer. And the league's Players Association to protect its Madden franchise amid a price war in sports games. Developers are now spending up to $10 million to create a game, which is unheard of amount a few years ago, and budgets for some high-profile titles can be so much higher. Estimates say Halo cost $20 million, but Microsoft declined to comment. What used to be a big budget for PlayStation 1 in the range of like $5 million is an average budget for PlayStation 2. Now, some games have already eclipsed these levels. Value Corp, one of the few big independent developers, spent more than $40 million on Half-Life 2.
Excellent, Jesus. Excellent, guy. That's a real game right there.
That's a lot of damn money. Meanwhile, Atari spent $17 million to develop this summer's Driver with an E, or with a 3 instead of an E, and about $17 million more to market this racing game, which sold more than 3 million copies, but has failed to live up to expectations. That's a lot of fucking money going into the video game industry.
And how much they spend on Pong?
But you can get, like, a college degree in, like, making video games.
Yeah. Called computer science.
No. Like, game development.
No shit. There's a course on game... Or you can actually get a degree on game development.
Degree. Not like a class you take. You can get a degree on making video games.
You know what? I don't think I'm going to be coding HTML anymore, guys. No more CSS for me.
No more CSS. But anyway, that's kind of interesting. Moving up with the video games. Of course, movies, I think, have more of a worldwide appeal than games do.
Why? Because they involve real people?
No, just like it's easier to translate a movie over to a foreign language, maybe, than a game. I don't know.
Speaking of people play too much video games, strange case of Empire Jumper no one knows. This is the guy who, of course, I don't know if you heard since you've been out of town. The guy who jumped off the Empire State Building?
No, I did not hear about that.
Yeah, it happened last week. He chose the city's most famous skyscraper as a place to end his life. But 3 weeks after a man leaped off the observation deck of the Empire State Building, his absence has gone unnoticed by the world at large, and he's still known to the police as simply as number 6071. How sad is that? His identity and the personal demons that drove him to suicide are still a mystery. There have been no missing persons reports, no tips, no phone calls, a detective from the NYPD's missing persons squad told Dead Daily News. We're just hoping someone out there that knows who he is. The man carried no identification and left no note, and his fingerprints didn't turn up in any data bank. Cops only have a few thin clues to go on. His complexion and bone structure led to investigators to believe he was probably West African. Perhaps one of the immigrant street vendors who crowded Manhattan streets. He was 25 to 30 years old, 5 feet 8 inches, and 161 pounds.
How tall is he now?
About 2'5". And he had a large scar on his left shoulder, police said. If you know anything about the Empire State Building, is that if you jump from the top, you're not going to hit the bottom.
Really?
If you throw a penny off there, it's not going to hit the bottom. The way the wind works... And how tall it is, you wind up hitting the side somewhere. It has, you know, it's kind of like canopy type of deals along the sides. Mm-hmm. I forget what they call it. Anyway, this is the rest of the story. I'll tell you a little bit about it. On the morning of the 26th, he walked into the lobby of the Empire State Building, paid $12 for a ticket to the 86th floor, and took the elevator up. The deck was packed with holiday tourists. Imagine being there, huh? And no one paid any mind to the man in the black jeans, Timberland boots, and black jacket. Make sure he wasn't cold. But he got their attention when he suddenly broke into a spirit, vaulted over into a sprint, vaulted over the 10-foot spiked fence. Sorry, this is not funny. Ringing the deck and climbed into a ledge. For a moment, he teetered all between life and death. Then, looking directly at the horrified crowd on the other side of the fence, he threw out his arms and fell backward into the sky, plummeting 1,000 feet. When he landed on the 6th floor setback on the west side of the tower, he became the 34th suicide in the famed building history. His $12 ticket for the observatory deck was still inside his pocket.
Damn.
Why do you pay for a fucking ticket? I guess it'd be hard to get through the front, right?
At least he was smart enough not to jump off something like a pyramid.
Bloop, 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 bloop. Ow,
I'm
ow, ow,
ow. You gotta forgive me.
Ow, ow, ow. That was very funny, Droops.
Yeah, well, sometimes.
Especially, what, I don't, you can at least leave a note. Come on, guy.
Yeah, guy. If you're gonna kill yourself, leave a reason. You know, piss somebody off. Be like, oh, I feel bad the rest of my life because I had someone kill themselves.
You know what you do? If you're going to go kill yourself, blame it on somebody you don't know and make them feel bad for the rest of their life. Say,
blame it on a made-up person that they're trying to find.
No, blame it on a real person that you kind of know. Just like
Leap Clues.
I blame it on Blue's Clues special edition. With, look, Blue, I found a bloody head. Anyway.
No, they need to be like the guy that was so weird he killed himself over Blue's Clues. And people are like, what the fuck is up with that guy?
No.
Then you're just, then you're really fucked up. Like, it's not like he's the guy that killed himself. It's like the guy that killed himself over something gay.
Yeah, kind of like a guy like, well, Hinckley was trying to kill Reagan for Jodie Foster. Like, dude, what, mm-hmm. what, you know, if you don't kill yourself, tries to kill a president for a chick, you could at least find somebody better looking than Jodie Foster.
Eh. You ever seen Taxi Driver?
Yes, I've seen Taxi Driver.
She's like 14.
We're not Man. Talking about that on this show.
Man.
I'd fuck that in the mouth, cutting asshole.
Well, I just received an email from the CCRC in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and I won an eBay auction. I got 10 Ethernet cards for like $9. So if you need a couple, I'm going to be down there picking them up pretty soon.
Is that what they're doing instead of your fuck up? You want to explain your fuck up?
Oh, no, that's not instead of my fuck up. This is just another auction I won. Remember we were talking about those nice people that have the recycling? Well, it seems that they didn't have one of the items that I won. Like, they didn't have it. And I went down there, and they're like, yeah, we don't have it. And I'm like, okay. You know, what are you going to do about it? Because I won an eBay auction. I want, you know, my fucking shit. And they're like, you're fucked, pretty much. And I said, well, I'm going to give y'all some bad feedback on eBay. And they're like, well, we hope you don't do that. I'm like, why don't y'all just give me, like, a computer real cheap or something? You know, y'all don't fucking pay for the shit. And they're like, we can't do that. So I gave them a little bad feedback. I mean, that's all you can do. And I just pretty much got fucked in the ass because I was really hoping to win that. I did actually get a... It was like a 99-cent item. Like, it wasn't a big deal. But I did get a bag phone. Bell South Mobility, baby. Big old battery.
You know what? I left them good feedback from my computer and I didn't get shit.
You think? Well, they gave me pretty good feedback last time.
I didn't get any
feedback.
It takes
a while. Ah, whatever.
I'll have to go check back anyway. That's kind of shitty of them to do that to you.
Yeah, like they didn't email me or anything and said they didn't find it. They just waited for me to show up.
Fucking Nazis.
Fucking Nazis.
Speaking of things that are gay in the world. Google. Remember our friends over there at Google?
Yeah.
Google says it's fixed a flaw that could have allowed hackers to search the contents.
Hackers.
To search the contents. To search the contents of PCs running the company's desktop search tool. According to a statement issued Monday by a web search company, it has rolled out a fix for the vulnerability. The flaw in the tool was discovered in late November by a Rice University computer scientist and two of his students, who he...
Is that a racist term?
Rice
are
University?
Are you saying a university in Japan?
No.
Or Asia?
No.
A Google representative said,
we were made aware of this vulnerability with the Google desktop search software and have since fixed the problem so that all current and future users are secure. Dan, an assistant professor of computer science at Rice University, discovered a vulnerability while working with graduate students Seth Fogarty and Seth Nielsen. They're like the Corys. Dan described it as composition flaw, where security weakness is caused by the interaction of several separate components. According to the New York Times, which first reported the discovery of the flaw, Walsh, Fogarty, and Nielsen found that Google desktop tool looks for the traffic that appears to be going to Google.com and then it searches the results from a user's hard disk to a particular search. But, of course, this is still beta, and I'm glad they're fixing the problems at ASAP, so it's really cool of them.
Mm-hmm. That is really nice. Speaking of searching things, Microsoft Corporation, this is why they lick my ass. They launched a new test version of software.
How long is this article?
PC. It's pretty short.
Oh, well, make it long. I want to get me some cool coffee.
Okay, well, I'll talk a while.
Okay.
Now, first of all, I remember having Windows 98. I never had Windows 95. I was a 3.11 man for a long time. But I remember you could go and you could search Windows with the little search function. And then I had Windows Emmy, or I had 2000. I have XP right now. And I believe that you can always have been able to search Windows. You know, they've always had that function in there. And it's always been a piece of, what's a nice, dog shit. Dog fucking shit. And, well, now Google has released this, you know, pretty good search thing for it. And then all of a sudden, Microsoft is like, you know, we've been selling this product for a lot of fucking money for a long fucking time, and it's a piece of fucking dog shit. Maybe we could fix this one little bit before we let someone else invade our space. And that's, you know, really fucking shitty. It's like you live on a street and nobody paints their house, and then, you know, one guy paints their house down the street, then everybody's got to paint their house and make it look nice. No. You should have been the one that fucking started it. Oh, fuck. Sorry. Anyway, in their latest bid to outflank Google, they're rolling out technology for searching data on personal computers. Yeah. MSN Online the other day started offering a free test version of MSN Toolbar Suite, a downloaded add-on for the company's Internet Explorer web browser and Outlook email program.
That sucks.
The tool, which Microsoft has said would debut for end of the year end, followed MSN's release of its Internet search last month. Okay. They should have been doing this from fucking get-go, and the only good thing about this entire fucking article is they didn't make this a Windows update. You know, they at least give you the ability right now, for right now, hope they don't listen to the show and get an idea from me, but they at least get, you know, you can at least do it on your own. Now, this toolbar can search, stop me if you've heard this before, this toolbar can search across a range of PC software to find files, emails, and documents, Microsoft said. It can search through files saved in various formats, including those generated by Microsoft Outlook, PowerPoint, and Word, as well as documents in Adobe Systems Incorporated PDF format. The toolbar is a test version that Microsoft will continue to modify and improve. They already have a fucking search function in Windows. Why didn't they fucking do it right? Why do they have to wait for someone to fucking up their ass, which isn't really hard to do, before they do anything fucking about it? I paid a lot of fucking money for Microsoft Windows. That shit should fucking be the best.
You didn't pay for it.
Okay. Someone might have. I don't fucking care. I stole it because I'm a fucker. But it costs a lot of money. Now, just fucking ignorant fucks. And it's like the same exact shit that the Google thing did. Now Microsoft is doing it. Oh, it's Microsoft. It's much better. No, it's not. It's fucking not. I'm going to keep talking about bad Microsoft stuff in the next couple articles. But anyway, Ask Jeeves, kept trailing on the fucking dog end of the shit, plans to release a free test version of its own desktop search server.
Go away, you fucking cunt. I hate Jeeves.
And how did Ask Jeeves come up with this wonderful idea? Oh, not only did they copy Google and Microsoft, they bought out a company, Tuckaroo some shit, which is a closely held San Jose startup business this year, which was writing the software fucking for them. They bought it out. They're like, oh, it's Ask Jeeves now. It's not Tuckaroo or whatever. And remember I said closely held because we're going to talk about that later. Now, Microsoft has a reason to resist this encroachment by internet search companies. Well, they should have fucking done something about it from the fucking beginning.
You know what would be
fucking
cool?
Homosexual. Fuck!
If some other high-tech company bought us out, Infonomicon, and made like an NPR version of our show,
you'd be like $20.
Be like, oh, this is Alpha Skinny, and you're listening to fucking Info, motherfucking Nomicon.
It'd be different guys. We'd have to give Pixel Fiend half the money because he designed the logo. But that's not a legally binding contract by any means.
So you're cut out of our $10, Pixel Fiend.
Currently, most PC users have no uniform way to find files and information stored on their PCs, and if any company makes that easier, it could exert some control over the future direction of PC software. Microsoft chairman Bill Gates long has touted the huge benefits of making it easier to find information on PCs. When, you motherfucker? You had fucking search function in fucking Windows for a long fucking time. You haven't touted how great it is, you motherfucker. You sat on your ass and you waited for someone to do something fucking better than you, and then you're like, oh, maybe we should catch up. No, motherfucker, it's too fucking... Oh! Now, this MSN
now back to our regular programming.
The company also is developing more ways to handle PC searches in its future operating systems. You should have been doing this since fucking 95, you motherfuckers! Be creative and come up with something on your own, you stupid fucks.
They realized their mistakes and they're fixing them.
No, they've realized their mistakes a long time ago. And then they're like coming out and saying, oh, that's not a mistake. We're just trying to... No! You fucking idiot! You're lazy. You're not going to do it unless you have to do it. Do it because you're trying to be a good company and trying to help out people. They're giving you money for no fucking reason. Why is there any reason for someone to upgrade to Windows XP from Windows 98? There's not really
a good reason,
but they fucking will take your fucking money. And then that's not even the big deal. They had ME come out in the middle, and ME was just a money grab. It was crap.
It was utter shit.
And it was just a money grab. It's like, you know, some poor jackass sitting on the street has had to upgrade twice since 98 from ME, you know, and then to XP following the Microsoft whatever the fuck. They haven't done fucking shit to help that guy that gave them fucking $800.
Well, not only was it a money grab for the product itself, it was also a money grab for the certifications that go along with it.
Mother, don't sit around touting. I'm going to read that one more time. I'm sorry. Microsoft Chairman Bill Gates long has touted the huge benefits of making it easier to find information on PCs. No, you have not, you lying sack of shit. This is why we're not getting sponsors. But we call them out, motherfucker.
Yeah, and stuff, yeah.
Go ahead, buddy. I'll whoop your ass right now, Billy Gates. Bring it on.
Bring it on, your fucking fake wife.
Bitch.
And your manufactured child. Hi, I am the son of Bill Gates. I own you all, noobs. Anyway, Google adds Google adds major libraries to its database.
Good to know.
Yeah. On Tuesday, the Mountain View, California-based search giant announced relationships with five major libraries, including those at the University of Michigan and Oxford University, as well as the New York Public Library, to create digital copies of some books so they be searchable through using Google. Also on Tuesday, the company began sampling some works already scanned for Google Print, the company's searchable index of books that it formally unveiled in October. Susan, Google's director of product management, said the product will evolve over several years. Libraries have been the keepers of information for centuries, she said. We are excited to unlock the wealth of information. Which is really good. Let me see. For example, the scope of Google's relationship with each institution varies. For example, Harvard Publications Director Peter – I'm not going to pronounce this guy's last name – said the university and its pilot
– Peter Wiener.
Peter Wiener said the university is in a pilot program of Google to scan over 40,000 randomly selected books from its collection of 15 million, the largest academic library in the United States and one dating back to the 1630s. By going through the process, Harvard will be able to vet issues such as care of the books and copyright concerns to determine whether it's appropriate to proceed, he said. Google has been blah, 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 blah. And basically, keep on lookout. That'd be really fun to look at and search. Now, most of these books, now this is me talking. Most of these books will probably be ones that you wouldn't be reading in the first place. Kind of like old Spanish poetry from the, like, 1800s. But it's pretty cool that they're getting into this and evolve, of course, over the years.
Hell yeah, it is. And that's such a happy article.
Did you go to Oxford?
I go to Ole Miss. It's in Oxford.
Oh, never mind. I'm fucking
up. Oxford, Mississippi.
I went to Harvard.
We are the Harvard of the South.
I don't know.
And the football team sucks ass. And the football team sucks ass.
Anyway, speaking of other happy things.
Oh, let me say something before I go on.
Okay, go ahead.
I had a friend, and he had some computer problems. Basically, his internet provider, Cox, called him up and said, "Listen, man, you got that, what is that, the Stinger thingy? Virus? What's it called?"
No, yeah, Stinger.
I never had it, so I don't know. Cox called up and said, "Listen, man, you got this going on your computer. We have to shut you down because this is like taking too much of our whatever. You know, you're causing problems." Okay. So he kind of like gets back online, says, "Fuck it," says, "I fixed it." He runs a Stinger thing from I'm thinking Norton puts one out.
Okay.
Or yeah, Norton, and they shut him down again because his problem's not fixed. So they put him back online again after he says he fixed it. When he asked me to come over. Okay, since he knows of Infonomicon, he knows how much of elite not hacksaw I am. Anyway, I go to his house. I do the standard. Run some do the spyware thing because I'll do that anyway on everybody's computer. Got Adaware. Got SpyBot. 560 spyware. Okay? Got rid of that.
Traces. That's traces of spyware. That's not actual. Everyone's not a spyware.
Well, traces of spyware. 560. That's more than what I get.
I used to get like thousands and thousands of a fix shit.
Really?
Circuit crap. Yeah.
Well, 500 is more than what you really need. Anyway, I deleted all that. I ran AVG. You know, you don't have to steal Norton. Go and get you some AVG. It's free antivirus program. Got that. He had 50 Trojans on his computer.
That's a good number.
50. Got rid of all that. Put on my firewall up. I'm just telling you, man.
Took his computer away.
You know, for the Christmas...
User equals ID10T.
For everybody out there who... it's a Christmas season, even though if you're not, you know, you don't celebrate. I don't celebrate, but, you know, I still say Merry Christmas to people. You know what? You don't have a lot of money for people, you know. You're like me. You don't have tons of money to go buy everybody a fucking gift. Fix the computer for them. You know? They're having problems with the computer. You say, Merry Christmas. I'll fix that for free for you. You know? Even though if you're probably doing that anyway, but go out of your way to do it. You know? That's what I'm saying. I could have just told this guy $20 and I'll fix your computer, or $50, whatever. You know what I mean? But yeah, I said, you know what? Fuck it. I'll take my time out and go fix this guy's computer. So, you know what? A healthier computer is a better internet. I don't know what the fuck I'm trying to
all
say.
All about it. It makes it all better for everybody.
It does. Play fair. I wasn't just going to wipe his whole hard drive, put Linux up there, but I didn't. It's like, this is Slackware. But then again, I'll be installing Slackware on somebody's computer that doesn't know how to use a firewall, doesn't know what a firewall is. So I decided to cut that one out. Anyway, back on the article.
All right, Microsoft Corporation, my friends.
Again?
Yeah. They just bought a small maker of security software. And this is a sign that the company is ready to use acquisitions to beef up the security of its products. Because no one knows how to fix your shit better than somebody else. And be a larger player in a market now dominated by a fast-rising Symantec Corporation. Well, Microsoft's got a lot of holes. Symantec started making money off of it. Microsoft's like, you can't make money off of us, motherfucker. And now they're going to try to fix it. Which is something they should have been working really hard on before someone started making money on it, you know? But they didn't. They were just fuckers. They bought this company called Giant Company Software as a New York maker of software for fighting personal computer junk mail spyware. It's a company that was they fight personal computer junk mail and spyware, and Microsoft didn't discuss financial details with the world. Now, this move advances a shift in Microsoft's approach to the $13 billion market for computer and network security, which Microsoft has really helped create by being so shitty. Now, Microsoft for years relied mostly on outsiders to fight the host of computer viruses, worms, and other internet-borne attacks on its software. And in fact, Microsoft has made software buildings and other companies install the locks and security guards to protect them. Now, with a growing number of security attacks on the Windows operating system, Internet Explorer, and other core products, Microsoft is being forced to deal more directly with threats. In the email to staffers in July, Chief Executive Steve Ballmer said Microsoft has to work to change a number of customer perceptions, including the
developers.
That Microsoft is not sufficiently focused on security. What perception? It's the fucking goddamn truth, you fuckers. Buying outside security expertise is one way to do it. No, it... If you get rid of the outside security people, then that's one person auditing your system. You need a bunch of people auditing your system if you're going to have a big fucking operating system. Like Linux is audited by a lot of motherfucking people, and that makes it a little bit better than Windows. Just a little bit, Millie. Just a little bit, Millie. Motherfuckers. Oh, I just want to punch him in the fucking head. Except that Steve Ballmer guy might sweat on me. He's a big fella.
Developers.
In the antivirus and security era, would spark fear and loathing in Redmond. In Redmond.
Fear and Loathing in Redmond.
In an industry that's lived symbiotically with Microsoft since the advent of the PC, Symantec, McAfee, Trend Micro, and other similar and smaller players have built businesses supplying help to Microsoft's products, but have always been wary that Microsoft might one day get their heads out of their asses.
And they'll stop losing. Start losing money.
Yeah, when Microsoft announced its plan to buy Jacad, shares of Symantec, McAfee, and Trend Micro plummeted in the news. Microsoft Vice President Mike Nash, not related to Mike Ness from some shitty fucking band, said that Microsoft will release its own antivirus software, though he wouldn't comment on when. And here's what really is the kicker. Like, I almost didn't read this part because I've forgotten that it was the really good part. But this is the best part of the article in my mind. It's really good. It's the best part. Microsoft's separate antivirus suite of products, whenever it comes, will be sold. All right, how much does Windows cost? Just default?
300 something? I don't know.
Okay. Will be sold as subscriptions that give customers regular software upgrades over time.
So you got to pay for it?
It's like, hey, we're going to sell you a car that doesn't really work, but you're going to have to pay to fix it every time, and we're going to tell you this. Like, it's a service we offer, you fuckers.
Grandma got ran over by a reindeer.
Okay, so Microsoft, let me get this straight in my head. I'm sorry. They're going to sell you a bucket with holes in it for, like, $300.
And then make you
and
pay for the
ports. And then if you
want to
patch those holes, they're going to sell free because it's their fucking fault there's a hole in the goddamn bucket. Oh, no. It's not their fault. It's those damn hackers. You got to give them extra money to protect yourself from the fuckers. Go ahead.
You do know hackers are bad, right? I don't think you should put it down on Microsoft so much.
Read a fucking article before I read another one.
I love you, Microsoft. I love you.
Yeah, speaking of something happy, since I'm doing an article now because you wouldn't talk. We've all been to jibjab.com, right?
I'm not done yet. I haven't started.
Okay, go ahead.
Anyway, what I was saying is the only reason why I switched completely Linux is because they don't support, unfortunately. Anyway, which they probably would be able to, you know, Windows Media Format, because I have a lot of my porn in that.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, man. A man needs his porn.
Oh, my God. Hey, read your article, and I'll be right back. I'm going to get some coffee.
You get coffee? Droop sucks. Yeah. Droop sucks. Droop sucks. Are you gone yet? Anyway, internet auction firm eBay has agreed to buy Rent.com for $415 million, giving it access to more of the online property market. eBay will pay $385 million in stocks and $30 million in cash, with the deal set to be completed in the first quarter of 2005. Well, since we were alone and Drips is not here, let's talk about the Christmas season. A lot of people killing themselves and everything. Because, you know, it's the winter and people are lonely and everything. You don't have families to go to. But just do one favor for me. Don't be listening to Infonomicon when you do it. Because I really don't need lawsuits right now. I do appreciate that. Going back on with the article. It has expanded both at home and abroad this year. And has brought into firms in the South Korea and Germany. Rent.com, which helps users find flats as well as housemates, has annual sales of about $40 million and was launched in 2001. Let me say, I have used this to get apartments before and help people find apartments. It's a really cool site. Where was that? The acquisition would enable eBay to expand into a new segment of online real estate market, the auction house said in a statement. It would also allow Rent.com to continue to scale its business with the resources and expertise of eBay. The purchase is expected to have a slight effect on eBay's earnings next year, the company said. So go check that out. I've used Rent.com and Rent.net. Rent.net is actually a pretty good site also. So what you want to talk about? It's a Christmas season.
I'm back, baby.
Oh, you're back? I was talking about suicides.
Hold on. My phone's ringing. I'm not back. Just one sec. I'm sorry.
Well, put it on speakerphone.
Hey, go pick up your car. It's ready. Yeah.
Speaking of sex, let's talk about a schoolboy quizzed over sex video. Police in India are questioning a schoolboy in connection with the filming and sale of video clips of a sexual act in leading Delhi school. Officers have custody of a boy, 17, for a day. He appeared in a juvenile car in the capital on Monday. On Friday, the head of an auction website was held after the sale of a CD showing a sexual act between two students. The pictures have caused a scandal in India, where shows of public intimacy, such as holding hands, are frowned upon. Last week, authorities arrested a student in India's premier technology institute, the Indian Institute of Technology, on charges of selling the clip on auction site BAZEE.com for 125 rupees, which is $2.85.
A nickel and a half.
Transmitting or selling pornography is illegal in India, but processing or viewing it in private is not. Possessing or viewing it is not. I think people in India would be uptight if they just got, you know, together and watched porn.
Yeah, there should be more hand-holding than porn watching.
I'm sure you've got another Microsoft bashing article to read for us?
Oh, actually, no. I've got a happy time. This is a little happy. Go to JibJab.com. I only really heard of JibJab.com back when they were doing the little presidential videos. But they've been doing these for quite some time now.
Yeah, they've been doing it forever, man.
And you can go to it and actually see the full collection now. But there's something interesting on the new one. There's a new one. It's about Christmas. And actually, JibJab.com doesn't really own it as much as Yahoo now owns it. They are the exclusive online distributor.
And you
got to
talk up
videos.
A little bit. You sound like you're in NPR.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yahoo is the exclusive online distributor of animated videos from JibJab Media, which is the creator, of course, the widely seen This Land video, or DC Land, which is actually pretty good. It poked fun at presidential candidates. The move shed lights on Yahoo's strategy to distribute entertainment, in addition to providing web search and other services for internet users. Under the agreement, Yahoo, based in Sunnyvale, California, has exclusive rights to distribute JibJab's next two animated videos, each of which will be roughly 2 minutes long. The first one's a musical video poking fun at Santa Claus's loss-making business model, and that's expected to be available for free on Yahoo's website today, which was actually a couple days ago, and I've watched it, and it's pretty funny. Yahoo will, of course, host the second JibJab video near the time of the presidential inauguration in January. The company said that the videos will accompany by advertising, but it declined to discuss financial details. So Yahoo kind of bought the next, or the current and the next JibJab.
Yep.
But that's a happy time. They're trying to get their name out there, whatever.
Well, since you bring up that lovely story, I want to bring up something
happiness.
A little more brutal.
Flowers and puppies.
Of course, you've heard about the whole, like, the woman who got, like, slain over her baby. You heard about that?
No.
God, you've been out of the touch, huh? Basically, let me explain this to Droops. This chick was pregnant, right? So this other chick killed her and then gave this woman a C-section, took and stole her baby. And started parading.
Give me your shoes and your kid, bitch.
And so she started parading the kid around town as her own.
1 second, you weren't pregnant the other day.
Yeah. No, she actually gained. Okay, let me go ahead and read this article, which is pretty tech related. A pregnant woman, pregnant slain probe follows cyber trail. In the end, it wasn't a fingerprint or a blood splatter that led authorities to the woman suspected of strangling a mother-to-be and cutting the baby from her womb. It was an 11-digit computer code. Police zeroed in on Lisa Montgomery in the most 21st century of ways by trolling computer records, examining online message boards, and most important, tracing the IP address, which is 65.150.168.223 to a computer to her Melvin, Kansas home. This is a quote. That in and of itself led us to the home, said Jeff Lane. Said Jeff Lama, FBI spokesperson, here said the IP address, our internet protocol address, the unique number given to everybody knows that is, Investigators said that just before the slaying, Montgomery had corresponded over the internet with the victim, Bobby Joe Stinnett, and about buying a dog from Stinnett. The same technology that makes communication possible enabled authorities to check the case in a matter of hours and rescue the pregnant baby, the premature baby. Montgomery, 36, made a first appearance on Monday before a packed courtroom in Kansas City, where her attorney refused to waive her right to preliminary and identified hearings. Both hearings have been scheduled for Tuesday morning. But based on what that says. But it's pretty cool that they found this woman through her IP address. Just looking at this woman, she looks fucking freaky. She looks like the girl down the street who, you know, in school that likes you, but you don't want, you know, that tells everybody that you like her too, but you don't like her. You know what I mean?
I never had that problem. No girl ever liked me.
But you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, other people had that problem.
She looks like, I like you. I like you. I'm going to tell everybody I like you, and you love me. You love me. We're going to get married. We're going to get married. Then she kills herself.
Poor girl.
Suicide! I was telling everybody earlier when you were going about, you know, there's a holiday season, everybody killing themselves.
Yeah. So you killing yourself finally?
Or are we who, me? Yes. We're not doing... We're going to be hearing the show from now on as... this is Droop. Welcome to Phenomicon.
I'm going to change the name back to the Droops Radio Hour.
It was never the Droops Radio Hour. It was the Droops Show.
The Droops Radio Hour with your host, Droops. Today we're going to be talking about computers. And where the listeners are.
Then I came along and said fuck a lot. And everybody was happy.
Fuck, man. And Nutri-Rats and shit. With all the talk about satellite radio services like Sirius and XM, it's easy to forget a much bigger competitor to regular radio.
Man, you're fucking... your Wall Street Journal must have been piling up on the front door, huh?
Yeah, buddy. While just 3.4 million subscribe to satellite radio, and about 19 million, that's a lot more than 3.4. Listen to internet radio each week, according to research firm so-and-so and so-and-so. That's tiny compared, of course, the 277 million who listen to regular radio each week, but the numbers of internet listeners have grown fast. Just 3 years ago, only 11 million listened to internet radio each week. Wonder if that's due to the growth of broadband.
It's due to the growth of Infonomicon.
Infonomicon, you know, that 500, man, we're bringing it up.
We're almost to 600 now.
Are we 600 now? Perhaps the clearest signal yet that Sirius broadcast companies are getting in about internet radio came in the middle of last month. Clear Channel. The nation's shittiest radio broadcaster with 1,200 stations hired Evan Harrison away from his position as general manager for the internet top-ranked AOL network to lead Clear Channel's online radio efforts. With online radio still in its infancy, though, it isn't clear how powerful a lure traditional broadcasting programming is for internet listeners. Some listeners enjoy everything that radio hosts bring to their programs, from their chit-chat to their taste in music. For these people, picking up a local station online at work or finding a fascinating radio personality from another state or country might be ideal. But others would just soon skip the chatter. No, fuck you, man. I chatter all I want. And have more to say what they listen to. For them, online-only services have an advantage, at least for now. Services such as Radio Option on the Yahoo Music Match services allows listeners to pick a category, say alternative rock or homosexual country or
modern rock.
And play a steady stream of tunes in that genre with no talk and far fewer ads. That's kind of interesting. They didn't really talk about our kind of radio. Wait, here's something about computers.
Podcasting.
No, if only. Meanwhile,
Microsoft Corporation.
Their MSN Radio is trying to lure broadcast listeners to its site by offering programming that mimics that of popular broadcast stations. Music played on your favorite local stations, the site boasts, but with fewer ads, no DJ chatter, and less repetition. Well, how are they coming up with what songs to play and what markets? By purchasing copies of station playlists from Nelson Broadcast Data Systems, MSN can recreate the sound of the station. Choices include Los Angeles Hip Hop Station, KPWR, New York Alternative Rock Station, WXRK, and Miami Spanish Station Hits, WRMA. So wait a second. One second. Hold on. Let's say I have a radio station in my little town. Microsoft can come buy my playlist and then just play exactly what my radio station plays on their internet thing without advertising.
Yep.
Man, that's some dirty dog right there. Microsoft says stations that don't like the service are welcome to get in touch with the company and to work with them to find a compromise.
I'm sure they'll be happy to work with you.
MSN stations have a total of about 260,000 listeners per week. And those aren't listeners. Those are fuckers. Compared to 1.7 million for AOL's radio service and 1.6 million for Yahoo's LaunchCast.
I know people who actually pay for Music Match. They actually listen, not to buy the songs, but to just to listen to the radio. They pay Music Match just to listen to the radio.
Now, the real boom, of course, for internet radio is
Shoutcast.
With the development of technology that would allow internet users to travel around large areas and keep their connections, much like cell phone users can. No. Right now, it's here, buddy. You can download them to your iPod and walk around and listen to them then.
iPod!
At your discretion. No one else's. At your fucking way. When you want to fucking listen, you fucking listen. If you don't want to fucking listen, you put on something else.
That's why you get podcasting. You go to podcast.
Podcasting, baby. Anyway, internet radio has more listeners than satellite. And see, we're being nice to let the satellites use our stuff. We're like, we'll get y'all some more listeners. Use our stuff for free. We'll help you out. Whatever.
And we say curse words.
And we'll cuss a lot.
You want to go wrap the show up, man?
I thought we were doing a 3-hour show.
Oh, we are?
A 3-hour tour.
No, I think
let's not do a 3-hour show.
Okay, we're actually 2 hours right now.
Are we really?
Yes.
Well, this is a Christmas special, isn't it? It's like a magical
special,
miracle.
Special. It's like Christmas. Like it's kind of like It's a Wonderful Life with sodomy. You want to know why it's like?
Why? Why in your fucking demented little mind? It's just like that.
Because I want to fuck Donna Reed.
Okay.
You know who Donna Reed is, right?
No, couldn't tell you. I was about to look it up.
You know It's a Wonderful Life? Donna Reed, she was also in the Donna Reed Show. She was a Wonderful Life. She was that dude's husband. I mean, that wife.
Okay.
You know Donna Reed, right?
Gotcha.
I don't know. She's a fucking hottie, even though she's dead now. But back then, I just wish she was like so. And I don't know. I just want to be like, you know, Jimmy Stewart comes in. I'm home,
sodomy,
honey.
Now, is it still necrophilia when it's sodomy?
Talking about she was hot back in the 50s. Now, I just want to go up to her and be like, I'm home, honey. She's like, well, the kids at school, I just want to bend her over the countertop and, I don't know, man. I don't know. She said that she's a hottie. She's a MILF.
All right. You got anything else you want to talk about real quick before we're done?
Yeah, man. The list of the week.
All right. Excellent. We have a term of the week. Now, I had another article I was going to read, but I didn't get to it. But I did read one where we mentioned the word closely held. Now, a closely held company. Now, this is kind of a dorky term. It's a business term, but you're going to fucking learn it because it's really fucking important. Now, a closely held company is one that's traded publicly but has very few stockholders, only slightly different from a private or a closed corporation, which they don't trade their stock. So, you know, like a closed corporation has like 5 people that own it, maybe, 5 stockholders, and they don't sell that stock. But a closely held is 5 guys that can sell the stock, they just don't want to. And the legal definition is 5 or less individuals own 50% of the stock during the last half of the year.
All very interesting. Now, was that the term of the week?
Well, that was it.
Okay.
What was that?
What was the quote? You had a quote?
I have a quote of the week. Now, this, of course, is talking about a company that filmed 2,000 shoppers in Southern California. They had an American Express display, and they were selling gift cards by American Express. And they had these little hidden golf ball-sized cameras behind the little rack, and they were trying to see what it says. And this is the quote, and this is the guy that I just want to fucking whoop his ass.
Whoop ass!
And,
whoop ass!
He says, "It's not really invasive. No one knew they were being recorded." Shut up, I'm reading. "And our work did not interfere with the store environment. This is the kicker. Had we tried to interview people, the process would have taken much longer. And had people known they were being taped, I know many shoppers wouldn't have stuck would have stuck their hands in front of the camera lens and refused to be recorded. Oh, you're a dirty motherfucker. That's, of course, Craig Gahn, the CEO of Kahn Research Group in Huntersville, North Carolina.
And that is exactly what my lawyer would say after my my videotapes in the bathrooms.
It wasn't. They didn't know
I was taping. They didn't know they were. They didn't know I was taping them playing with their pussies.
Well, now they fucking know, Mr. Greg Kahn. Now the Infonomicon people know what's fucking going on. If you see American Express thing, you look behind it for a little golf-sized camera, and you fucking steal that motherfucker. And they say, "What are you stealing?" Be like, "I'm stealing this golf ball. Here's a dollar, motherfucker."
You know what? Infonomicon. You don't fuck with the Infonomicon army. You want to know why?
You don't fuck with us.
You ever seen a commercial with the Capital One commercials and those fucking Huns? They're just running.
Yeah,
that's what our army looks like. Dirty, rotten, dirty people.
They stink worse than those guys, man.
Yeah.
All coding and drinking coffee and not bathing and masturbating. All the good stuff.
And who's our cunt of the week?
That motherfucker, Craig Gahn. He's just a motherfucker.
He's made all kinds of stuff of the week, man.
Yeah, he's quite famous this week.
And what's our site of the week?
If anyone can get us his phone number, I would love to call this motherfucker. I'm going to look it up later. Site of the week.
That's your job for the week. Find out that guy's phone number.
Okay.
Or just the company's phone number. Because if you can find the company, you know. Anyway. But,
okay, we'll call them too.
What's the
side of the week? Because I have a couple.
Okay, go ahead. I'll let you do this week.
Okay. Something that I've been listening to a lot while I was reading up and catching up on the internet is RadioMargaritaville.com. It's internet radio, which we've been talking about. It's a little Jimmy Buffett. It's a little Caribbean. It's really fucking cool. And another site that's actually pretty interesting is nationalmap.gov. And they're working on making a national map. Like, if you've ever seen, like, a... you know, one done by the Department of the Interior. You know, it's got, you know, Wilson's Church, and it's got a little cross, and it's got a little mark for a little building. And you're like, how do they get this information? They just drive around? No, no, they have volunteers. You can volunteer to be in the National Map Corps. And you take your GPS around, and you mark off all this shit. And they give you an official badge that says you're working for the government. And I think that's kind of... I think that's kind of neat. And you can pretty much walk around wherever you want with your GPS and have it.
What's that site name?
It's nationalmap.gov. And you just send them an email, tell them you want to volunteer. They send you a packet. It takes a couple months because it's the government you're dealing with. But I've already started that process.
Okay, and what's going on? Of course, if you want to get in contact with us, your email address is?
droops@infonomicon.org.
And mine's obfuscated@infonomicon.org. And of course, if you want to get on the show, our phone number is 206-337-1628. And of course, you can find that on the contact page.
Has anybody called that yet?
No, except your wife.
Okay. Now, I also wanted to talk about searching for video, like TV shows on the internet. Not like just to download them, but, you know, searching for content to see if someone talked about Elvis, per se. And also wanted to talk about some retail hacking, as it would be. But we didn't have time. But we're recording the show in the next couple days, and I'm sure it'll be on there.
And this time's going to get out on time, right?
Hell yeah, because we're going to do that bitch early.
Okay.
Christmas Day, we're going to be recording the fucking show.
All your keychains are coming your way, right?
As soon as I get off my ass, yes, they're ready to go.
And Redneck Geek's t-shirts are coming his way, right?
Yes, I actually talked to Pixel Fiend and asked him to give me some t-shirts.
Okay. Let's see what's going on. Of course, and our phone number is 206-337-1628. And our closing music for this week is going to be by a band called Sam Hayen. Sam Hayen. Or, of course, if you're coming from Mississippi, it's Sowin. It's
Sowin.
You know, Glenn Danzig's band. Anyway, the song's called Let the Day Begin. And... oh, I got some. Okay, wait. I got some sites. Of course, I want everybody really to go check out those podcasting sites. And
because you're in love with podcasting.
Well, no, I think everybody should go check out shows. Besides, it's in a little circle. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
The more shows you get, the more information you get, which is better for everybody.
They're going to find out we're lying to them.
Yes. And of course, you'll find shows that you might like better than our show.
We love you. Come back.
Yeah. So don't leave us, please.
Just keep downloading our show and make us feel bad. You can or feel better. You can delete it when you're done.
You know, vote for us and leave some comments. Tell us how bad we suck. Of course, you can go to podcasting.net and podcastalley.com and podcastbunker.com. And, of course, all those sites are in our link section. Go check our site out. Go check out the RSS feed, tutorial we have. And until then,
I've been Droops.
And I've been Obfuscate. Until then, we're Mickey Finn.